This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. والله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا الله, show us truth as the truth clearly with clarity and help us to follow it. And show us falsehood as falsehood clearly and help us to stay away from it. اللهم لا تكلنا إلا أنفسنا طرفة عين. O Allah, don't leave us even for a moment to our own nufus. Don't let us be our own guides and our own interpreters of your word. So inshallah, we are going to start with the last portion of Surah Al-Alaq. We had covered the first five ayats before, which was the first revelation. And now we are going to go from there to the end. So I'm going to read the surah, and then we are going to hear the English translation from Fahd, and then the Urdu translation, and then we'll go into it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min 'alaq. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى أرأيت إن كذب وتولى ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى كلا لئن لم ينتهي لنسفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطية فليدع ناديه سندع الزبانيه كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. صدق الله العظيم. We have a sajda at the end of this. We can do this inshallah at the end. Okay. So we're going to have you inshallah read the English translation.
Read. O Prophet, in the name of your Lord who has created, He has created men from a clinging clot. Read, for your Lord is the most gracious one, who has taught by the pen, has taught man what he has known not. No, indeed, most surely man is unmindful of his covenant with God, and this he does transgress, for he sees himself as self-sufficient. Indeed, to your Lord is the ultimate return in the hereafter. Have you seen one who would forbid a servant of God when he prays? Have you seen whether such a one is upon the path of heavenly guidance or commands people to be ever God-fearing? Have you seen when he believes the truth and turns away? Does he not know that God indeed sees? No, indeed. Most surely, if he does not exist, we shall certainly seize him by the forelock, a lying, sinful forelock. Then let him call upon his counsel. We shall call upon the guards of hell. No, indeed, never shall he be helped. So do not obey such a one. Rather, bow down to the ground in God's worship and draw near him.
Padho, ay Nabi, apne Rab ke naam ke saath, jisne paida kiya. Jame huwe khoon ke ek lothre se, insaan ki tahleek ki. Padho, aur tumhara Rab bada kareem hai. جس نے قلم کے ذریعے سے علم سکھایا انسان کو وہ علم دیا جسے وہ نہ جانتا تھا ہرگز نہیں انسان سرکشی کرتا ہے इस बिना पर कि वो अपने रब को बेनियाज देखता है हालांकि पलटना यकीन
वो अपने रीड दैट वो अपने आप को
नॉट अपने आप को बेनियाज देखता
है नॉट अपने रब को
अपने आप को हालांकि पलटना यकीनन तेरे रब ही की तरफ है तुमने देखा उस शख्स को जो एक बंदे को मना करता है जबकि वो नमाज पढ़ता हो तुम्हारा क्या ख्याल है अगर वो बंदा राह रास्त पर हो या परहेजगारी की तलकीन करता हो तुम्हारा क्या ख्याल है अगर ये मना करने वाला शख्स हक को जुटलाता और मुंह मोड़ता है हो क्या वो नहीं जानता कि अल्लाह देख रहा है हर चीज़ नहीं अगर वो बाज ना आया तो हम इसकी पेशानी के बाल पकड़ कर इसे खींचेंगे उस पेशानी को जो झूठी और सख्त खताकार है वो बुला ले अपने हामियों की टोली को हम भी अजाब के फरिश्तों को बुला लेंगे हरगिज़ नहीं इसकी बात ना मानो और सजदा करो और अपने रब का कुर्ब हासिल करो
So inshallah, we just remind ourselves once again the purpose of our gathering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran for guidance. And guidance is of little value if we do not walk the path. If we do not walk the path, we will never get to our destination. So that's the first thing we must remember, and that there is only one path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called Sirat al-Mustaqim. Which after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nabuwah is the only path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna deen inda Allahi al-Islam. That the deen in the sight of Allah or with Allah is only Islam. And as we said, the word sirat is a singular word. There are no multiple ways. Number two, when we study the Quran, there is no room for doubt. In the Quran, in any aspect of the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us right in the beginning that this is hudal lil muttaqin yu'minuna bil ghaibi wa yuqimuna salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun walladhina yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka wa ma unzila min qabl wa bil akhirati hum yuqinun. Taqwa and certainty are requirements to get benefits and guidance from the Quran. If you have doubts about the Quran, Allah will lead you astray. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. We misguide many people through this book. بِهِ With this book, we misguide people. Many, كَثِيرًا. And we guide many people by this. So what is the difference? What do you bring to the table? What kind of a heart are you coming with? And just last in Surah Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those, the ayah, the 19 angels. And what in the end does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ This is how Allah leads some people astray and guides some people. Oh, why did he put 19? Why did he do this? This sort of debate, when Allah says something in the Quran, what is your attitude? آمنا به. We believe in this. That's it. He said 19. That's it. No ifs, ands, discussion, you know, debates, logic, you know, hikmah. If he tells you, fine. If he doesn't, that's what it is. Amen. A believer's condition is he submits the moment Allah's words are recited. Third thing, we said that we studied this Quran not to project it on Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira or Abu Jahl. Yes, there are portions of the Quran that were specifically revealed about someone or for an event or for an occasion or for a place. They were specific, but they always have a general import. You know, there is meaning that applies for people till the Day of Judgment. So you just don't say, oh, this is for Abu Jahl. If anyone who has the characteristics of Abu Jahl, that applies. Anyone who has the characteristics of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, those ayahs apply. So all of those things we have to take, not projecting on anyone else, that I wish so-and-so should hear to, and so-and-so. It is for me personally, me, I, I, because that's the most important thing. Everything, when we see that, we should say, what does Allah want from me? What does Allah want from me? And am I doing this and fulfilling the obligation of the Quran? Because the Prophet ﷺ said about the Quran that it will be hujjah, evidence, laka aw alayka, for you, in your favor, or against you, depending on how you reacted to it. So may Allah make it a hujjah for us on the Day of Judgment. Also, that we don't do this as an, just as an academic discussion, debate, and certainly not for showing off knowledge, how much I've studied, how much I know, and this. Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us that anyone who studies for that purpose, among others, and to debate with people and to look, he will go to Jahannam. This should be only for my rectification, for the pleasure of my Lord. So that's what it should be. And like I said before, we are not scholars. I am not a scholar. I am a student just like you. If you want to see a true scholarship, it is not how much a person knows or how well, beautifully they recite the Quran or how well they have memorized it. You should see the Quran in action in their lives. If you see the Quran in action in their lives, in everything, then you can call that person a scholar. Anybody can give a lecture. Islam is taught in our universities by non-Muslims, professors, sitting on chairs for, you know, years, and they will quote you everything from every book of tafsir. Okay? So be careful with the use of your words of scholars. Please don't call me that. I consider it an insult.
Sheikh
is good, because Sheikh has two meanings. Person of knowledge and an old man. So I'll accept that.
I think Sheikh is a good term for, as a sign of respect. I can't call you, you know, ya teacher or something. It's called Sheikh because you know more than I do.
So inshallah,
accept with humble.
So let us focus on taking home lessons, personal take home lessons after each. And I would be happy if you sent me just two or three lines. This is what I took home. Because sometimes it could be something, and frequently, because we learn from each other, it may be something that didn't cross my mind. You reflected on it, and now I benefit from it, because we are here to benefit each other. Excuse me. So as you know, the Surah Al-Alaq is an early Meccan Surah, and the first five ayats were the first revelations. Then after that, there was a gap, and a lot more Quran was revealed. And you can see clearly from going to ayah number 6 that time has passed. Time has passed, and it could be years. It's not documented exactly how long had gone by. Because the message went from a personal message to a family message to secret da'wah to public da'wah, which took time. The Prophet ﷺ is now doing public da'wah. And when the message becomes public, there is denial. There is ridicule, you know. There is, after that comes physical persecution. So this all has started because they are bent on opposing the Prophet ﷺ and his message. So now these ayahs are revealed, obviously, after a time where physical persecution has started, where they are forcing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of the Kaaba that you cannot pray here. Okay. Abu Jahl went to the extent, he had an argument with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, I don't want to see you here again. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, this. So he said, if I see you, I will step on your neck. This sort of thing was going on. Now, in spite of this, the Prophet ﷺ, guess what his attitude was? It's well documented that he was praying for Abu Jahl's guidance. Many of you know that the Prophet ﷺ made a dua, Ya Allah, guide either Umar or Amr. Umar ibn al-Khattab, one of the two Umars, or Amr ibn al-Hisham, which is Abu Jahl, to Islam. And strengthen Islam with one of the two Umars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Umar ibn al-Khattab. So even in that situation, because the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the talent of Abu Jahl as a leader, as a smart man, so he figured that if he comes into Islam, it would make a big impact on Meccan society. Now imagine the feelings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims, that they are facing all kinds of challenges. They are being ridiculed, they are being thrown out of their families, physical tortures, to the extent of being killed. And then the Quran is descending in real time. Messages are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just imagine what kind of strength it must give them in those moments of persecution and weakness, that Allah is watching and He is responding. He is sending us messages. You know, we have someone, because here we have no one, that Allah is sending us solutions and guidance. So think of what kind of strength, because you needed a lot of strength. Can you imagine in that society being a handful of Muslims and being persecuted and tortured, and you see your mother and father being tortured and killed, you know? The family of who? Sumayya and Yasir, the son was? Ammar, the family of Ali Yasir. Young man, seeing his father and mother being tortured and killed, the first martyrs of Islam. Where do you get your strength from? That Allah is communicating real time with us. Anytime we face difficulty, Allah will send us a solution. What should we take home from there? Whenever we face difficulty, we have the complete book. Let's look in there to see if we can find a solution for us. And Allah has put a solution for everything. How Allah strengthens us. And those who do that regularly, wallahi ladheem, if you are in distress, you read a few ayat, you will find yourself at ease and peace. The right intention. So we start with in the ayah number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla innal insana layatogha. As we said, kalla is a strong denial. It also contains a warning, denying everything that this person is saying and doing. And it's a warning to quit. Don't do this. Don't say this. Okay. Innal insana layatgha. Tagha means to rebel, to be obstinate in your rebellion, to be tyrannical, to show that in your physical actions. It's like floodwaters, means they exceed all bounds and they have a destructive force. This is what tagha is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, innal insana layatgha. Mankind is rebellious. Now where does this ayah come after? Now look at the connection. Before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created you, you were nothing, you were clinging on to life in the wombs of your mother as nothing. I could have let you go anytime. I brought you to this earth. I gave you strength. You knew, you came in knowing nothing. You had no physical strength, no economic strength, no knowledge, no spirituality. You had nothing. And I brought you up and I gave you all of this. And I taught you ilm. And ilm, as you said, by the pen is everything. Today, the supercomputers, that's ilm of. That's the same thing as the pen. So what was the response? Because of what everything I taught you, you progressed economically. You progressed militarily. You progressed in sciences, in medicine, in all that you learned. And when you learned all of this, instead of attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He unveiled this knowledge, you took credit for it. And therefore you thought you were istaghna. You were ghani. You were self-sufficient. You did not need God anymore, because I have everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that after benefiting from everything, instead of being grateful for what He has achieved, He does not see the divine dimension behind it. He just sees the movements of things. He doesn't see who is the mover behind it. He sees things happening, man, and forgets that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is granting this to him. Therefore, he responds with aggression and transgression. And what happens as a result of all of this? It has emerged again with all this progress. What has come out again today? Denial of Allah. Atheism has become a big thing again. After all of this progress, we have gone back to Jahiliyyah. That's the progress. Why? Because we see all of this, we forget Allah. Whereas Allah is the one who gave us all of this. And therefore, we immerse ourselves in more materialism, you know, more self-indulgence, more hedonism. Let me fulfill all my pleasures because we do not need God. So this is the history of humanity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summarized in two or three ayahs, that you were nothing, I gave you everything, and this is your response. And when he says this is your response, he means the majority of mankind, of course. The people who are believers, people who are shakir, are excluded and who believe in him. But the majority of mankind is that. So this is the first ayah. And what is the expression of this tyranny, of this taqa? Because he feels now, I don't need Allah. Now we should reflect on this. Many times we don't say we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everything is going perfectly in your life. You forget about Allah. You get busy with things. That's another expression of saying, I don't need Allah. When do we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a diagnosis of sickness or cancer or a big loss or something, now we turn to Allah. Suddenly we remember there is Allah. But when everything is going perfect, many of us, illa mashallah, forget. Or at least don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks to the degree that we should. We don't remember Him as much as we should. Which is another expression, a milder form of denying and taking credit for it himself. So, the moment the person considers himself self-sufficient, this is his response. So, then what does he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجِعَ. Verily, to your Lord you will return. Means don't forget that you have a return. No matter what you have, how successful, how powerful, whatever you are, you will die. Everything that's created is fani. It does not last. It will come to an end, including you. Good times come to an end, bad times come to an end. Nothing stays. Everything is transitional. So if good times are there, don't be so arrogant and so full of it that I'm enjoying, because it will come to an end. And if bad times are there, don't be so despondent, because that too will come to an end. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created things. And just remember, very important, that to your Lord you will return. And when you return, there is accountability. What have you brought? That's a key message for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what is the manifestation of this tyranny, of this taqa. He said, أَرَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. The word in Arabic is called lil istifham, is a question, okay? Inquiry. Have you seen, right? Have you seen? Literally means, have you seen or did you see? Did you see with your eyes? But also means, did you see with your mind? Did you reflect? Did you ponder? Did you see a man who forbids abdan idha salla? This abd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is known that this was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him his abd. And that's an honorific title for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he also uses that in Surah Isra. He calls him, you know, Isra bi abdihi. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his abd. That here is an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is doing salah, and someone wants to deny him that. No, you can't pray here. You can't pray here. Whereas the whole earth belongs to Allah, and every place is a masjid, a place of sajda. This is for this ummah. You can't pray here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَيْتَ إِن كَانَ الْحُدَىٰ. Do you see that this person is on the right guidance, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? أو أمر بالتقوى, and he orders goodness. He orders people to do good thing and to be conscious of Allah. Whereas the other one who is forbidding, أرأيت إن كذب وتولى. His characteristic is he denies the truth and he turns away from it. This is the Abu Jahl. Okay? And all those Abu Jahls of every generation who deny the truth and turn away from it. And today we have the same thing, people trying to defame Islam and making up stories. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an ayah which is for all of us and it's a great warning. Alam ya'lam bi-anna Allah yara. Alam, does he not know that Allah sees? Allah sees. Allah sees what you are doing. Now, the Quraysh believed in Allah. They believed in Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many, if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, Allah. Who brings the rain? Allah. But they were doing shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you believe in Allah and you won't let somebody pray to Allah. Does that make any sense? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said, Anna Allah yara. Indeed, Allah sees. But he says, doesn't he know that Allah sees? Why? Because all of these people claim to be knowledgeable, to have knowledge. They were proud of their knowledge. Okay, you are knowledgeable. Then shouldn't you know that Allah sees? If you claim to be knowledgeable, then it should be obvious to you. In other words, this is another way of saying that you really don't know, you're a jahil. Okay? That Allah sees everything. And this is very, very important for us, that every action that we do, wherever we are doing it, whatever we are doing, whatever space it is in, whatever we say, whatever we look at, every action, Allah sees. Now, if that becomes a haqiqah, a reality in our hearts, could you ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never. Because you're conscious, Allah is seeing me. If Allah is seeing me, how can I skip? Allah tells me that I'm supposed to pray and I don't pray. Allah says, don't pick up this glass of beer. I pick it up. That means I don't have the reality that Allah is seeing this action of mine. If I'm looking at something that I shouldn't be looking at on my device, do I not know Allah is seeing what my eyes are doing? So, this is an ayah that we should all focus on. This is not just for Abu Jahl to see. It is for Abu Jahl, but it is for me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla la'in lam yantahi lanasfa'an bin-nasiyah. If he does not desist, if he does not stop, لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاسِيَةِ نَسْفَعَمْ comes from the verb سَفَعَ, which means to grab something and pull it violently and shake it. There is another meaning which means to burn something with a flame, to scorch it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he does not, and this is specifically in this ayah for Abu Jahl, that if he does not stop what he is doing, لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاسِيَةِ I will have him dragged by his... Nasiya is the forelock or forehead, the hair that and what grows on this part, that he'll be grabbed from here. And this is his punishment in the Akhirah, in Jahannam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show you manifestations of that punishment in this dunya also. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will have him dragged and scorched in the fire. And he used the word nasiya, which is the front part of the brain. That's an interesting use. Then he defines what kind of nasiya this person has. Nasiyatin kadhibatin khatiya. A nasiya, a forebrain or frontal lobe, that is a lying frontal lobe. And that makes an error in judgment, makes mistakes, khatiya. Okay? And this is from one of the miracles of the Quran, because at that time they had no clue of what the frontal lobes do. Do you know what is the function of the frontal lobes? Reasoning, judgment, decision making, all of those. Stopping from certain things that are not socially acceptable. understanding consequences, prefrontal lobe, consequences of action that you're doing now, what will happen in the future. And also has speech area. So he says, he's a liar. Those words are being generated from his motor area of the speech. He's saying this is magic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we will drag him by that part of his brain which is making these faulty decisions and doing these things. Now, there was a little thing between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Jahl in some of the narrations. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying in the Kaaba again, and Abu Jahl was sitting with his cronies, with his buddies, and they said, "You said that you are going to step on his neck." He said, "I'll go." So he goes, and as he comes close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's in sajda, he suddenly is sort of thrown back like this. And he goes again, it happens again, and he comes back, and the people say, "Oh, you didn't fulfill." He said, "You know, you didn't see it." He said, "What didn't you see? You didn't see the fire there? You didn't see those creatures?" So he was given sight of the ghaib. He saw the hellfire, he saw the creatures of hell, and he got scared, he pulled back. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that had he stepped on the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent his zabaniya to tear him apart right here and now. But he stepped back. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said this to him, he said, "Don't you know that all of Makkah supports me? You know, I am the leader. So how do you threaten me that, you know, you're going to do this? I'm telling you, you can't pray here." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ." Tell him to call his group, his nadia, his cronies, his club, his henchmen. "سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ." We will call الزَّبَانِيَ, which is another name for the guard, the angels that guard hellfire. The word zaban means, in Arabic, means someone who pushes. So these are the angels who will push people into the hellfire. So you want to call your friends to help you? Do that and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib." He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Do not obey him." Anyone who stops you from worship, anyone who stops you from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing what Allah has commanded you, do not obey him, no matter how difficult it looks. Look, today we have the same situation. You have to project it on. Do not obey them. Don't be intimidated by them. But wasjud waqtarib. Go in sajda. What does sajda represent? Salah. Waqtarib. And through sajda, come qareeb, come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sajda, which means salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alayya aksaru sujood." It was mandated on me to do a lot of sujood, which means pray a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, "Aqrabu ma yakunu abdu min rabbihi wa huwa sajid." An abd, a slave of Allah, comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closest, when he is in a sajda. فَأَكْثِرُ دُعَى. He said, therefore, when you are in that position, you are closest to Allah, do a lot of dua. Do a lot of dua. Because you are closest to Allah. And some, this is the physical sajda. Now sometimes your heart you may feel in a moment of reflection, you are so close to Allah. Your heart is in sajda, literally. That's a time to do a lot of dua, because you feel so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you feel no barrier, that's a time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us. No matter what obstacles you face, no matter what resistance people are stopping you from your deen, don't obey them. Come to Allah. In your moments of anxiety, in your moments of distress, in your moments of fear, come to Allah. There's an interesting reflection I will tell you, that they teach us, when you are afraid, in danger, don't be like an ostrich. Because they say that when ostrich is in danger, what does he do? He buries his head in the sand. Guess what? That is a complete fallacy. That's not what he does. If the ostrich, and they run at 30 miles an hour, if they cannot run away, the ostrich, when it's in danger, suddenly drops, flops on the ground, puts his neck and head flat and straight in front of it. So be like an ostrich. You can read, you can get this from San Diego Zoo. What happens to ostriches when they're in danger? They will tell you what they do. Isn't that interesting? That ostrich has more brains. The head of the ostrich is about this big. The ostrich is 9 feet tall, head is this big. That brain knows what to do in danger. When I cannot run away, fall in sajda. We are looking for solutions everywhere else. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. So what are the key takeaway lessons and action plans for me from this whole surah? And number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with iqra, which means learn. Study well, study thoroughly. Study with ikhlas for Allah, for practice, and reflect on what you study. Don't just do it casually. Number two, in the name of your Lord, means do everything with ikhlas for your Lord, not for any fame, name, recognition, or anything. And because He is your Rabb, ask Him assistance in your acquiring of knowledge. For ilmun nafi'ah. Allahumma inni, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilmun nafi'ah. O Allah, I ask you for beneficial ilm. And what is beneficial ilm? Mainly, ilm that helps you come closer to Allah, that helps you obey Allah. And of course, ilm that helps you in your rizq, that's also beneficial, but that's the main thing. Number three, that the source of all knowledge and the source of everything, in fact, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't ever take credit for things to yourself. Then you become those people who istaghna, who feel that they are, it is me. Because this is a characteristic of Qarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Qarun, who is from the Bani Israel, who was told to be, you know, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنْ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. That my success is because of my ilm, which I have, instead of attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be a Qarun. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't take credit. How to be grateful? Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To submit to Him. To worship Him, because that's what we were created for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. For His worship. He did not create us for any other purpose. And when you have the knowledge, say, Alhamdulillah ala ma 'allamtani. Alhamdulillah for what Allah has taught me. Wa zidni ilma. O Allah, increase me in knowledge, useful knowledge. Always remember your origin, that you were a weak, nothing, we were zero. And we became who we are by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or show arrogance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arrogance is taking a eye of the Quran and saying, now doing my own, this is how I see it, whereas it's known to have a different meaning. Okay, so don't show, accept what comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba, and our, you know, purified and well-known ulama. And don't ever consider yourself independent. Today we say, you know, you should be independent. This is a bad word. We are never independent. We are 100% dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a relative term, you know. There is no independence. Why? Why? Because Allah says, I want you to be my abd. Abd is an and independence are contradictory. Okay. Number two, always remember, as we said, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجَعَ. You are returning to Allah. We need to remind ourselves every day. Last Tuesday at 4:30, we saw a patient who was 32 years old, the UMass student and I. 2 days later, medical examiner called us. He was perfectly healthy. Called us, we need your medical record because he's dead. 32 years old. Okay? We are returning. What does that mean? What is your preparation? Don't let anybody stop you from your practice of faith. The other side is, you are not permitted to stop anyone else from practicing their faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom to practice our faith. So it is not that, okay, I am in Pakistan, I'm 99% Muslims, I can take down the churches, I can take down the gurdwaras. No, let them practice. It is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot stop people from practicing their faith, either physically or by ridicule or any other thing. And always know, as we said, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Always remind yourself at all times, whenever you are doing anything, that Allah is watching, He sees everything. And do a lot of salah and sujood to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that in summary is the end of this Surah Al-Alaq, and inshallah we can open it up for questions and answers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to His words and give us proper understanding as was understood by the early generation, and more importantly help us to take home and reflect on these and to implement all of these things in our lives. Ameen.